The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order.
This is the Zabe Cast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. It is a Monday, July 6, 2026. Thank you for downloading. Everybody, please check your fingers for me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Got it. Good. I had a successful 4th of July. I hope you did as well. Oh, by the way, new show, Who Dis? You will now be able to hear me for an hour a day on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee with my longtime former producer, wingman, troublemaker in kind, Josh Albrecht. The Steve Zabin Show, 1 hour. 1 hour. We're going to have to be very efficient. 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, 105.7 FM, also streaming on the Odyssey app. Get it at AUDACY, Odyssey. They used to be Entercom as a company. They used to be CBS Radio as a company. They are now Odyssey. So I'm very excited, happy, and thankful to be back on the airwaves in Milwaukee. Well, they are already saying, and by they I mean a lot of people, that this is the best World Cup of their lifetimes. And we have yet to even run into two of the biggest bangers of matches in the round of 16. That would be Mexico versus Three Lions from Stadia Azteca, kicking off in mere minutes. And then USA, Belgium with the stunning reversal of the red card on Flo Balogun, of course. We go to our World Cup guy from the Clean Sheet EPL, World Cup Nick. Nick Lochner joins us. Good evening, Nick. We're going to go quick tonight because I know you are absolutely psyched for tonight's England-Mexico match, aren't you?
Zabe, I'm fired up. It's been some great matches in the last couple of days. Well, really over the last while. Really fired up about England. Really fired up about England. Mexico. It is CONCACAF versus UEFA. It is Azteca, versus Sir Harry Kane. The lead up has been crazy. We can go into as much detail as you want, but holy cow, what a lead up to a great match.
So good. It's the subcontinent pours against the upper crust first worlders in the Premier League. And of course, it also involves two countries that have very close relationships with the U.S. Who do you think most Americans are leaning towards tonight in this game?
Yeah, I think most Americans are leaning towards Mexico. I think hardcore U.S. men's national team fans just can't root for Mexico.
Right.
So they're probably against it. I think there's a lot of American fans who follow the Premier League that know so many of the players, so they're rooting a little bit for England. I think it's just going to be a great matchup. England's the better team, would win 7 out of 10, right?
Right.
But at Azteca,
but
where
that doesn't
Mexico,
matter.
They don't lose. Yeah.
Well, okay, so I saw a stat. They've lost twice in regulation in like 54 years at that stadium in international
matches. In competitive, in tournament matches. Yeah.
It's like 73-2-5 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, it's a crazy number. 2 losses, 5 draws, the rest wins. it is pretty crazy. Altitude, it's the smog. There's lots of reasons, and they're good.
Yeah, they're good, and also the fans will gather outside your hotel.
That's right.
And shoot off 500-gram repeater cakes and honk their horns and toot their vuvuzelas until all hours of the morning. And even England, renting out 14 hotels, according to reports, did not stop the fans of El Tri. They found the hotel they were in, and they said, "This is it. Let's go."
Yeah, crazy. And, you know, I would say it's already worked before England even arrived, because England was talking about it leading up to it. They changed their travel schedule. They weren't sure when they were going to go. You know, the players are staring out the bus waiting for, you know, everything that's going to happen. So, you know, the psychology definitely plays a factor. It is definitely a home field, home pitch advantage for the Mexicans. El Tri
kicks off in 20 minutes, so we're going to go quick here. The biggest news of the day, stunner, is Flo Balogun's red card rescinded by FIFA. It's only the second time in World Cup history a red card has been rescinded, and there's a lot of sort of innuendo, speculation, conspiracy theory on how that got done. But first, let me back up and ask you, on my Universal Clark Griswold Christmas Vacation scale, where he once said, "Surprised, Eddie? If I woke up with my head sewn to the carpet, I couldn't be more surprised." Scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not surprised, 10 being head sewn to the carpet. Where were you when you saw the news?
I would probably like a 6 or a 7.
6.
I thought something might happen, but I was still pretty surprised because it's such a short time period and window. You know, if there had been a larger gap, I would be less surprised. And if this weren't FIFA kind of, you know, they're making money doing FIFA. They're doing everything, in my opinion, within the rules and the laws that they have put in place. Okay.
Yeah.
But they, you know, it's kind of when you get to the end of, you know, 5.3-2BA, when they get to the end of those, it's suddenly like, and then we kind of, as FIFA, get to decide. And and that's kind of where it got to, although it's definitely within the rules of the game. I think the way, in a very short sentence, the way I would describe this is FIFA VAR'd VAR. That's how I would describe it.
Very
they reviewed it and realized that VAR made a mistake.
Right.
And it's not a cancellation of the red card. I think that's important to note. It's a suspension of the cancellation, or it's a suspension of the red card. So it's like he's getting probation.
So are they going to put the card back on after this match if the USA wins?
If he has more infractions, so for example, if he were to get a rough yellow card in this game, he wouldn't be kicked out of the game, but it's possible FIFA would come back and remove him from the next game if that were to play. And
and
it's for a year. So
a year.
It's for a year. So if he were to do something, they could put the game suspension back on for you know, one of the international games after the World Cup, which they'll have a bunch of them, you know, over the next year. I will say, though, when it's not as unprecedented as you think either. I think there's a lot of noise out there. Cristiano Ronaldo had a 3-game suspension in qualifying.
Yes,
leading up for Portugal, right? And before the World Cup, they did the same thing. They didn't remove the suspension. They put it basically on probation. And now Ronaldo's on probation as well. He already served one of those. But in that tournament, it took a while for them to review it. He missed one of the games, but then they had time in between. They reviewed it. They rescinded it. And so even, you know, 6 months ago, this happened. So
wow.
It's a little different than some of the reporting that's being thrown out there. It's not.
But yeah. It's rare in that there's only one other example of a red card that was effectively, whether you call it a suspension or a reversal, in World Cup history. And you have to go back to like 82, I believe.
I would agree with that. But it's not new for FIFA. It's new for FIFA in their World Cup tournament.
Right. There's been other tournaments as well.
By
the way, the memes coming out of this are glorious. Especially the Sopranos memes, including the episode where they're at the soccer game, at Meadows soccer game, and all the wise guys are like bullying the ref and bullying their own coach. And there's the screen cap of Silvio in his, you know, white tank top, wife beater, going up to the referee to go, "Hey, come on, man." Then there's this one. It's Paulie Walnuts on the payphone saying, "Hey, T is done. Balligan's red card ain't gonna be a problem no more." I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I had working a little on the clean sheet, have the Norway game on in my office, and I just am completely distracted going down rabbit holes of the memes. It was pretty glorious.
So anyway, the clean sheet EPL can be had. Just search for it, clean sheet EPL. Nick Lochner, as he's joined us all World Cup here to talk soccer. And if you hate soccer and you're like groaning again that I'm going back to it, that's too bad for you. You're missing out on one of the most incredible sporting spectacles in the world. And sure, if you're not typically a soccer fan, you have to endure some, shall we say, challenges as a fan, as a not a fan of soccer, to, you know, get through that and accept, well, this is how this sport is done. You have to accept the flopping and the faking. You have to accept the seemingly naked corruption at times. But if you're not following it, you're missing some incredible shit, including Cape Verde versus Argentina on Friday, which is where I want to go next. So I'm watching the match. I picked it up in the, you know, second half. And, you know, Cape Verde's hanging in. And it looks like, you know, Argentina's going to win, but then they force it to extras. And they're in extra time. Argentina scores right away. And I'm like, not having overtime sudden death is the dumbest thing ever. I was then educated a bit, Nick, that, yeah, they've tried golden goals, but they found that it resulted in more conservative, boring play because they said teams were just trying to get to the shootout. And I go, okay, fair enough. But after my shit take, the game erupted into something bonkers because Cape Verde scored to tie it. Then Argentina went ahead. And then Cape Verde in the closing minutes put on a barrage that you can't believe if you weren't watching the match. I mean, bodies are falling on the pitch left and right. Guys are hurt, and there's save after save. And the valiant effort of this insane underdog falls just short. Hell of a match on Friday night. Your thoughts on Cape Verde's run that came up just short?
Yeah, it was the best match of the tournament so far, especially when you put it into context that this match was, you know, every time you watch Argentina, it's messy, messy, messy. The story is messy. And he comes out and scores a brilliant goal in the early mid first half. For Messi, it's just another goal. But it was a brilliant goal. And you just kind of thought, oh, here we go. And Cape Verde took the entire storyline of the match over. You almost forgot Messi was playing because they were just coming up with brilliant plays, and they would go down one, they'd take the punch, and they'd score. And they'd, you know, there'd be a close call on Argentina, and they'd turn around and get right down the pitch. And if you put it into context, Argentina, the rankings fluctuate, but let's call them number one in the world, okay, one or two. Cape Verde is like 64 to 67. This is like, you know, if you remember Virginia going down to UMBC in the NCAA basketball tournament. It just doesn't happen.
Although I'd argue that Virginia not really a power. They're not Kentucky. They're not Duke.
No, that's
so
true.
Even it's an even bigger gap. Also, I saw the population size difference. Cape Verde is under a million people, and Argentina, I think, is 49 million. So in terms
49
of
scale, million to 500,000.
Yeah. To 500,000. Incredible. Yeah. And so
I did real quick, Zabe, I did see I think it's up like 3,000% the Cape Verde travel Chamber of Commerce. Like people are now looking to travel to Cape Verde. So it's a gorgeous, it's like Hawaii. It's like in Hawaii country. But anyways, I didn't mean to get us off track. But
it's on the coast of Africa, I believe.
Yeah, it's about 500 miles off the coast of Africa, kind of near Senegal. But it's like Hawaii, like a, what do you call it, an archipelago, or like a bunch of islands.
Yeah.
And they have volcanoes, they have jungles, they have beaches, they have, it's like that.
Yeah. The first goal by Messi, brilliant. But like you said, for him, just another goal. He collects an offering at full stride down near the near post off his thigh, and then with one flick of his foot, roofs the motherfucker. Yeah. Like, no big deal. But the strike by the Cape Verde player, which was a frickin' rocket from outside the box on the left wing that curved and just tucked inside the post, was like amazing. And then he runs up into the stands, and he's standing up in the stands for like 2 minutes. It was hilarious.
Looking for his girlfriend. And, you know, props to the ref, because he could have given him a card, but the ref knew the situation. I mean, it was a big deal. And the ref let it go, which I think everybody would agree with. You know, this it's a 23-year-old. His name is, I wrote it down, Sidney Cabral. He's a 23-year-old. He just signed with a smaller club, and I don't even remember where it is. It's somewhere in Europe. Like, I want to say it's in, I think it's with Benfica, which is in Italy. And not a small club. I mean, they play in the top league. But he just signed, and people are saying how much money he may be left on the table, because now people are going to want to be buying him from Benfica when the next transfer window comes up, looking at what he can do.
Yeah. So after the game ends, there is genuine appreciation on both sides. Vizinho, the goaltender, goalkeeper, is that what they say in soccer? The keeper for...
Keeper, goalkeeper. Yeah.
Yes, the keeper for Cape Verde, who was such a hero this World Cup, was exchanging, you know, pleasantries with the great Messi. And according to reports, Vizinho said, as soon as I came up to him, he spoke right away and said, hey, you're a great goalkeeper. Your island must be very proud of you. Great playing. And he said that meant the world to him. Other Cape Verde players stood outside because they didn't get a photo with Messi, and they waited for the bus, and they kind of stood in front of the Argentina bus, to the point where Messi said, okay, hold on. He got out of the bus, posed for photographs with the players. Extraordinary sportsmanship, extraordinary understanding of the level at which he sits in the world of soccer. Other Cape Verde players are posting pictures on their Instagram of them just on the field next to Messi, saying, this is like a dream come true. I can't believe it. And that, Nick, is the good stuff. That's sports right there, huh?
Yeah, that's sports. That's Messi. That's it's what makes it so. It just adds the gravy on top. It's the frosting on top. It just
Messi
adds
really
to the
is.
Emotion.
Messi really is beloved. I was reading how, you know, they say that, you know, on his own team, his own teammates
are just like, we've got to win this for Messi. This was the last World Cup around. And that there is a genuine love for him. That it's not like Portugal doesn't love Ronaldo, but it's a different level with Messi. Fair?
Yeah, very fair. And I think Messi, it was brilliant for him. So both he and Ronaldo kind of ran their course in, I'd call it, the major European clubs at about the same time. Messi was at Barcelona and Ronaldo was at Real Madrid, and they played against each other a lot. Messi moved to MLS, came to Miami, lives in America, a little bit with his sights set on, I'm going to do that for a couple years, knowing the World Cup's going to be in the U.S., and I can play in the same time zone as Argentina, roughly. Messi went to Saudi Arabia, and that kind of tells you the difference between the two guys.
Yeah.
They're both great players, and you know, Ronaldo takes care of his fans too, and he seems like a good guy and everything, but I think that Messi going to MLS and Ronaldo going to the Saudi League for the money kind of is the gap, yeah. Describes the gap.
Our MLS is not regarded as much on the global scale, especially compared to the big five leagues.
Correct.
I know this. It's got to be fucking better than whatever Saudi's doing. Got to be.
It's really close.
Oh, shit. Is Saudi buying a lot of guys? They must be.
They're buying a lot of guys. They're buying a lot of guys. They're buying the managers. I would say MLS is probably better, but I did a little analysis and somebody else had kind of gone down this path and I added to it. The English Premier League, in the group stage of this tournament, if you add up all the minutes of every player, the English Premier League has twice the amount of minutes of their players than any other league in the world. It's 24,000-ish minutes of players playing for their teams. That's double the German Bundesliga, it's called. So Germany's top team club, that's 12,000.
Their top league, yeah.
Their top league, not the club. Yeah. MLS is seventh.
Okay.
And Saudi is sixth, but it's by a fraction. It's 5,000 roughly. But it kind of gives an idea of the gap in the leagues and where the players go to play. And it's all about money.
Yeah. So as good as the sportsmanship was in the Argentina-Cape Verde game, it was the exact opposite in the Paraguay versus France game. Ended up being won by France 1-0 on a penalty kick by Mbappe. It was I don't even want to say chippy. It was pretty much a dirty game by Paraguay. They quote-unquote parked the bus because they knew they couldn't flow and hang with France at full flight. But that's an acceptable tactic if you're trying to win. It's not pretty soccer, but it is what it is. There was flopping. There was faking. One of the Paraguay guys punched himself and drew a yellow card from the French player. They're going to appeal that. And then in the ugliest scene was after the game was over, Mbappe, superstar that he is, acted like a complete jackass and was mocking the Paraguay goalie and refused to shake his hand. And then the Paraguay goalie threw the ball at his back, and then a fight broke out, or not a fight, but a scrum. And the existential question I had was, Nick, so in a soccer brawl, do players fake getting punched like they do getting tackled on the pitch? I'm like, strokes chin. How does this work in a soccer brawl, which I don't think I've ever seen a real soccer brawl like we have in baseball where guys are throwing actual punches?
Yeah, I think there's less of the brawl and quite honestly, more of the cheap shots because I think the soccer players are used to the fact there's only three guys watching the match. There's not all these refs and everything. It's changed a lot, though, and it's gotten better, and it's only going to get better because now everybody realizes the cameras. And the guys cameras that are doing everywhere. A lot of this are more of the veterans who it's just like muscle memory for these guys.
Sure.
And they're forgetting the cameras are there. But you're right. I mean, Paraguay.
As far as Mbappe goes, I mean, I guess the only thing I can say is, you know, Paraguay played like dirty little bitches. So I guess they're not going to hug it out afterwards. But I still think superstars like Mbappe need to act less childish. Just my thought.
I agree with you. I thought, I think it just goes to show how much Paraguay got under their skin and how much their game plan worked. And it also goes to show that I think there is a gap between right now yet Mbappe and Messi and Ronaldo and their status and how they see themselves. Mbappe's a great player, and he might get there someday, but he's younger than those guys, and I don't think he was happy that the team that took him out to the alley and turned it into a street fight got the best of him. He didn't
like
that.
The answer, as many people are pointing out on the internet, is we'll just score three goals against them like the U.S. did. Oh, I'm sorry. We were told that that didn't count because Paraguay is not very good. Oh, sorry.
Right.
You should have done what we did. You didn't.
Yeah.
You scored one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Then the biggest story of all, and I think you and I missed this because we had taped just before the match happened, but the Croatian screw job, which will now be known forever because of VAR and the microchip inside the ball that purported to detect a touch of the Croatian player's hair or head on the ball, which rendered the equalizing goal in the frantic closing seconds of bonus time null and void due to offsides. There have been countless think pieces, a lot of technical jargon about how this system with the stupid chip in the ball works. And it has been incredible for me to read. I don't understand most of it, but I know this. I've not seen one replay or one photo that gives me definitive proof that the guy's head actually hit the ball. Your thoughts on this?
There is zero photographic evidence or replay evidence. It is strictly technology with AI. You have to trust the timing that they're all synced together. And if a fly had flown over the guy's head and bumped the ball at the exact wrong time, it's possible the ball... Well, this is, I'm giving an example. Nobody has said this, but what they're basing it on is they time all the cameras up. I think I mentioned before they have 60 cameras and there's a chip in the ball. They time all those things up and they, if you picture all of the video evidence, they also now add the sensor in the ball that can take real slight touches.
Right.
And they time that to when the ball was going past the guy's head, because then the ball went past his head and it hit another player. So, but it wasn't, the ball didn't sense that player at that time. It sensed the original player. And so you have to trust that that is 100% aligned. Now it's technology and there can be mistakes with it, but it clearly showed the ball got touched by something. But there is zero video or still shot evidence out of 60 cameras. I mean, it may be his hair.
I have a hard time believing they could detect that. I did see a demonstration video of a guy with the sensor ball in front of the readout on the computer showing the little waveform when he would touch it.
Yeah.
And he'd tap it firmly and you'd see a big spike, but then he would just kind of run his fingers on it like, and then he would see little ripples. So it's obviously very sensitive. It's weird how the sensor is sewn into the inside of the ball in a little cube about the size of, trying to think what it would be comparable to, like a small square pack of Chiclets maybe, or Tic Tacs, but square. Yeah. And they offset that weight with another weighted panel on the opposite side of the ball so it doesn't fly all weird.
Yeah,
the old ball that had the sensor in it had a sensor hanging in the middle, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I guess that was inferior technology. The biggest point I have is this. We went from the hand of God, Diego Maradona, to the hair of God. That we went from an obvious handball that when you see the clip of it and you see the photos, it's so comical. Like, really? Really, you didn't see that? He's right there at the top of the box. Boom, punches it with his hand. How could you miss that? We went from that, which was considered a huge injustice, to this, which is also considered a huge injustice. That's my problem with replay. You have solved nothing. You have made the game no more enjoyable. That incredible moment where the stadium erupted because Croatia had crawled out of the grave to equalize the match rendered null and void because of what? A blip on a graph from a chip? Fuck all the way off. That's not sports. End of rant. You've got the final word.
I 100% agree. VAR, there's a place for it. It's called clear and obvious. When you're measuring little touches and crap like that, that is, there's no clear and obvious. You let it play, you move on. It actually ruins the energy and the excitement in soccer, just like it does in the NFL and in other sports, because you sit there and you score a touchdown and everyone stands around to see if you can celebrate yet. Was it a catch? Was it not a catch? The whole thing just takes away from what sports is meant to be. And I think there's a place for VAR, but they need to stop the perfection of it and actually define the rules around clear and obvious.
Well, that's the essential problem. Everyone's definition of clear and obvious varies greatly. Yep. And I wish there was a world in which we could use technology to obviously overturn egregiously wrong calls. But once you start using it, the temptation then to start honing in tighter and tighter and closer is irresistible. The leagues can't stop doing it because they're like, well, we actually have super slow-mo at 200 frames per second. We can see this.
Yeah.
And so you get to the point of diminishing returns. It's like, you ever see one of those news channel exposés of hotel room cleanliness where they take a black light into the hotel room?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. Trust me, people, you could buy a black light off of Amazon for $10 right now, and you can travel with it, and you can go shine it around the hotel room. You're going to see a lot of shit you don't want to see, stains and weird marks and hairs, but you really should trust your eyes to go, okay, does this room look clean? Yeah, it looks clean enough. Let's go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
And you know, Zabe, full circle to what we kind of started with a little bit with Bulligan, part of the reason it got overturned is because VAR misapplied the VAR official rules of FIFA. When you look at a red card situation for an over-aggressive play, you're not supposed to slow or still frame the VAR replay. You're supposed to keep it regular speed. And it became clear that they slow played it. And that's what turned it around. So they even, you know, like, that's why I said VAR, FIFA VAR'd VAR. They said, wait a minute, even VAR had a problem. So it's going to be a problem for a while, but actually, you know what? It's what's going to be talked about for the next while. Just wait if the U.S. wins, when the U.S. wins tomorrow night and they take down Belgium. It's going to, you know, then it's going to be because of that. So, which actually it wouldn't be. I think they would win without flow tomorrow.
Not Balligan, huh? Okay, you're really high on it. Look, I think for sure, like, the word is Trump put in a call or said, could you please review this? And I do think there was a very Sopranos-like element to it. And as people have pointed out on Twitter, look, every other soccer power in the world would happily lobby or be corrupt to try to help their team. So don't apologize for it. This is what the rest of the world does. Somebody else said, oh, we just got favorable treatment from FIFA. Guess what? We really now are a legitimate soccer power. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah. I know this, if they win and they keep winning and they do something special, you know, nobody's going to talk about it. A year from now, they'll just talk about the wins.
And I think the equation was simple. On the surface level, the best, cleanest argument would have been, look, there's a good chance that USA loses to Belgium anyway. But if you keep Balogun out, then it's a injustice you'll never overcome. Like, you reinstate him and they play with him. Look, they got beat 5-2 earlier in the spring. Now, that was not a World Cup game. They're not in the mojo they are now. But they could lose. Right? They can lose with Balogun. Oh, yeah. You'd be better off. The argument I'd tell FIFA is, look, you'd be better off just rescinding this so you don't have to wear this stain of corruption forever. And, oh, by the way, have you not had the most profitable, wildly successful World Cup ever? Yes, you have. And would you like to come back here to the U.S.? Oh, yeah, absolutely. The only question is, how soon can we, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So why muddy the water? with something this silly that is obviously wrong to begin with. Like, yeah. let's think about it. You know, I think that was the message to them, and they finally got it.
Yeah, I agree. And in fact, the way I've been talking a little bit about it, if that was Mbappe who got the red card and they were playing the U.S. next, I think a significant amount of the noise would be, you know, hey, FIFA's just in it with Trump and the White House and everything else. It shouldn't have been a red card, but they took Mbappe out so he wouldn't have to play against the U.S. Like, yeah. It's you can create these narratives however you want. There's lots of gray lines. There's lots of questions around the rules. It's really nice to be on the positive side of one of these once.
Amen. We got
because
one.
Because it goes left. Yeah, it goes either way.
Yeah. All right. Very good. It hurts deep down, Nick, that I cannot be in a garage with you and the rest of the Pewaukee Mafia for tonight's match, Mexico-England, and tomorrow night's match, USA-Belgium. That's a life goal I have, to live somewhere near you clowns so I can be sitting there deleting a bunch of Leinenkugels, yelling at the screen and having a grand time. But will you guys please do that without me anyway?
Oh, yeah. That's already in the works. In fact, the garage kegerator is cooling yes. right now. So it should be a fun couple of nights.
Beautiful. All right. Talk to you soon. Clean Sheet EPL is how you find them. Nick Lochner, World Cup Nick. Good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks, Abe. Same here.
When we come back, I talked to my guy Butchie last week. That's right. Brian Butch, the 7-footer from Appleton, Wisconsin. We talked about knuckleheads betting on their NBA teams and a bunch of other topics, including why he's too cheap to pay for fireworks. Stay with us. You're listening to the Zabecast. Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good, maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Oh, yeah. It is time to reconnect with my former radio partner. A guy who didn't mind rebounding and playing defense. A man who came pre-installed with 6 fouls, 5 in college. A man whose life motto is sweat equity. Put the work in yourself and never pay for someone else's fireworks. The son of a grocer in Appleton, Wisconsin, turned Sports Illustrated cover boy and college All-American, Brian Boone! Did I get anything wrong in that intro?
I don't think so. I wasn't paying attention to it, though. After a while, I just tuned you out. So I think you're good. Yeah, I think it works.
You were a college All-American, right?
No, I was a first-team All-Big Ten player. Was not an All-American. So, yeah.
They don't make second, third-team college All-Americans?
They do. I don't think I was on that either. I know I wasn't on that. I don't think. I know I wasn't. So,
well,
yeah.
Fuck them, then. Fuck them. You were on the McDonald's. He was on the high school, the McDonald's game. They called it the McDonald's All-American game, right?
McDonald's All-American with LeBron James.
LeBron James. For those who have listened to Butchie and I for years on the game, you know that he has an affinity, a genuine liking of LeBron James. You're not close to him. You haven't talked to him since you were on the team, right?
Correct. Well, no, I ran into him once or twice after that, and we gave him the head nod, talked briefly, but not, I mean, yeah. No, we're not friends. No, right. I don't have his cell. I don't have his celly. No, we're good.
But you have always had an affinity, let's put it, for LeBron James. Even when others like me are like, oh, God, this guy is such a flopping douche sometimes. Great basketball player. You have always defended LeBron, and rightfully so. Great player. Now, yeah. now he's available, Butchie. And we're 24 hours into this thing, and I want you to tell us, where do you think he is going?
I think he's either going back home to my Cleveland. Here's a crazy thing. I think Miami might be somewhat in play with Giannis because they've got to fill out a roster. And that's if he wants to take a little lesser. Then obviously I think Golden State's in play. Those would be my three. Cleveland, Miami, Golden State.
So Utah, Memphis, the Nets.
Milwaukee. Yeah, those are all out.
Out. Yeah. What about D.C. where Anthony Davis is currently sitting with the Wizards? Do you think he would ever come play in D.C.? Because I know there are hosts here in D.C. who are kind of buzzing like, hey, if he wants to play with AD, we don't have to engineer this complicated three-way trade to get him to Golden State, Anthony Davis. Just you come here, LeBron.
And yeah, no, that's dumb.
Fans could have memories of washed Jordan and washed LeBron. Although, is LeBron washed?
I'll say this, LeBron at 41 still had a hell of a season last year.
Yes.
Like a hell of a season. I don't know if he's washed. Is he slower? I'll say this. I think he's not as washed as Jordan was washed because the technology. Jordan was bad. Yeah. I mean, I love seeing Jordan do it, but Jordan was bad. I think that's that's one that I look at and say, oh boy, you know what I mean? Like, where are we at?
LeBron James.
I don't know if he's washed. I'm going to say it.
Last year, LeBron James played 33 minutes a game, played 60 games, and averaged 20 points.
That's what I mean.
Five rebounds. Like, that is so not terrible. So I'm kind of fascinated that at 41, he probably has two usable years in him. And yet there's this vibe that, no, he's going to go one more place for one more year.
I mean, if you think about this, it's kind of crazy. He can win a championship at four different places. Cleveland, Miami, the Lakers, even though it was a bubble championship, it still was a championship. Mm-hmm. And if he goes to Golden State, he could win a championship with four different teams.
Yeah. Yeah, the bubble thing is a real bone of contention with a lot of fans. There are some fans who will never recognize that as a real championship. Sounds like you do, though.
Absolutely. I mean, they played the games. They had a championship in play. Like, yeah, that's what a championship is. You can't tell me, oh, there's not fans, there's not this. Like, you played the games. Everybody was competing for a championship. That's a championship.
Do you think Dustin Johnson's Masters win in October with no fans, is that a real Masters win?
Yes. Yeah. They still played it. The competitors were all playing. Whether or not, now, if he was out there by himself, I would say no. But he wasn't out there by himself.
Does it have a notation, an asterisk, a little cross next to it that says, well, it's a championship, but hold on, there's some other stuff you need to know first?
No, I'm not about that. I'm not about that.
All right. Well, anyway, so he's going somewhere. It's been an interesting 24 hours. Will be probably an interesting 48 hours. The other angle to this is that Bronny, his son, had his contract with the Lakers for next year at $2.3 million, fully guaranteed, a day before LeBron told the Lakers, I think I'm leaving. And I just want to get your take on how both Bronny James and Giannis's brothers are even a thing in this league. How is it that the NBA has a brothers jobs program, sons and brothers and relatives jobs program that pays millions of dollars? Doesn't that seem a little bit embarrassing?
Well, it's embarrassing, but here's the secret within the league by itself. Whether it's a brothers program or whether it's an agent, hey, I got a guy and you need to take care of him, guys. Yeah. Like, this has been around forever. Like, there's guys that, matter of fact, when I was playing the G League, I had an agent reach out to me when I was got called up to the Nuggets. He's like, hey, I can get you on the Knicks tomorrow if you sign with me. I've got three guys on a roster, on a contract there. They're renegotiating them. Like, come sign with us. We'll get you on the Knicks. And I was like, no, I'm not leaving my agent because of a promise that I don't believe. Now, that being said, I found out it's like, and that being said, it was 100% true because they signed another dude out of the G League. And sure enough, he signed a 10-day with the Knicks. This stuff happens all the time, Zay. It's favors of agents. It's just, it gets magnified because the last names are the same. And that's the biggest thing.
So isn't the real net of it is there's too many fucking guys under contract in the NBA. They don't need all these guys. These are essentially extra jobs that are laying around. They're like, all right, sure. You can be our 14th or 15th guy.
Well, they need practice guys. They need development guys. I think that's the deal. Well, I'll go to Milwaukee because obviously that's where it is. But Ryan Rollins isn't doing what Ryan Rollins is doing if they don't have these roster spots available. He starts with a two-way. Now, all of a sudden, he's turned himself into a halfway decent player, and we'll see how that plays out with this Bucks contract. So for every story Ryan Rollins is, there's also a story of a favor, though, of the, hey, take my guy and let's pay him $2 million. But here's the thing. What's $2.3 million to the NBA? Nothing. Like $2.3 million.
I know it's a rounding error for a league that has the highest annual average salary of any of the four major pro sports. I think it's almost $6 million now, average salary in the NBA.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be a lesson, mom and dad. If Jimmy or Johnny can bounce a ball or tackle a guy, get away from the tackling, more bouncing. That's where the money is. It's just one of those things. So is Bronny James's days numbered in the NBA, basically?
Absolutely. Okay. He got a $2 million paycheck and he's done. He'll be in the G League next year or he'll be playing in China or Greece or somewhere else. I mean, Giannis's brother Alex already signed a contract in Greece. They knew what was going to happen there. So
So there was a couple different Thanasis brothers that showed up once Giannis got a lot of power in the org. Thanasis, as well as Alex. And there was a third one, right, that also plays basketball. He didn't make the team?
Yeah, he was overseas, I believe, making some really good money. I think they decided to stay over there because he's actually pretty good. Like, he's a fringe player. And I think he was, yeah. But I forgot his name.
You ever think about changing your last name to some other NBA star and be like,
So here's a story. All right. So my guy, I was working out with I don't know if this was legal or not, but I'm long gone. But I was working out in Atlanta my draft year. And he did something with the Knicks. I'll put it that way. And so he was working us all out. He comes up to me and goes, hey, if you were Butchnofsky right now, if your last name was Butchnofsky.
Right. Yeah. If you're from Europe.
Yep. He goes, you'd be entirely different. He goes, you would have been drafted in the second round easily. You'd be a fringe first rounder. But because your last name is Butch and you're American, we're going to try to get you late second round. So then we got a call. My agent got a call late second round from Boston that said, hey, we're really interested in Brian, but we're going to go get a European big and we're going to stash him. He's not going to become part of what we're trying to do, but we're going to draft him. We're going to stash him. We want Brian to come to the vet mini camp that we have. That's 2 days after the draft. It's when we bring in a bunch of these veterans that come in. We've loved his workouts. So I went to the vet mini camp and then played summer league a little bit with him. And that was the same as being drafted, except my name wasn't called, all because they took a European, which they knew they were going to stash. Like, it was so crazy.
Yeah. Well, I got your name in case this ever happens again. Broban Butchnikova.
I think that's perfect.
I mean, that'd be sick right there. They would look at you like, man, this guy's big. He's physical, shoots threes, comes with six fouls. What's not to like? He's from Warren Torm. war-torn Krapnikovia, some country you've never heard of. Let's take him.
Let's get it done.
Has the European influx leveled off, do you think, of basketball talent, or is it going to just keep getting deeper and deeper?
Well, it's leveled off in the NBA. It's getting deeper and deeper in college, and now it will then translate to more NBA guys. So, right, like, because they're getting paid more right now in college than they would be to stay overseas and play with their club teams. So they're getting more money to come overseas. So we're seeing a lot of guys. I mean, I'm in the process of putting together my boards for college basketball right now to work ahead a little bit. And everybody's got an international player on. I don't know. Listen, I use English. I don't know if I'm fluent in English, all right? I'm fluent in Butch. Like, that's the way I talk. Sometimes the words make sense. Sometimes they don't. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't know how I'm going to be able to get all the words out and pronunciations correct. I'm going to have to go like Bobo or Boban, and just, we're not going to try last names with a lot of these teams. Like, so if you're listening to Wisconsin basketball on the radio and you hear me be the analyst, just know that I'm going to have a lot of nicknames for guys that maybe most people don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm not even going to try to pronounce half of these guys' names.
All right. You're doing what for the fourth?
We're watching fireworks. I'm not buying fireworks, but I'm watching.
You're at your lake house now in what lake is that? White Lake?
No, Silver Lake.
Silver, sorry. Got the wrong color. I knew it was a basic plain name.
Correct.
Wisconsin has as many lakes, if not more than Minnesota, who put on their license plate the land of 10,000 lakes. But there is a dispute as to what constitutes a lake. And that's where the Minnesota versus Wisconsin sort of rivalry on how many lakes do you have versus what we got, right?
Correct. Okay. I think Wisconsin has more lakes, but whatever. Like, I'm not going to get
on a lake, right, in terms of the lake and whatnot? Okay.
Correct.
So you're at your lake house. There's going to be fireworks. You've told the story before. Tell it for my listeners on the pod here. Why it is that you say you don't pay for fireworks being shot off by neighbors, even if they ask you to chip in?
Yeah, so I've been asked to chip in. The lake has two big firework things now. We started with one where, like, my wife's parents' neighbors would, you know, put together.
Neighbors, okay.
Yeah. So on the lake. Anyways, they put together it on these floating rafts, put together this whole thing. The guy's an engineer, really smart, you know, so he goes and buys all the fireworks, but then lights went off and it's boom, boom, boom. And it's literally right, like, in our bay. So all the boats come, watch, and we're there just loving it. I'm in a chair. Life is good. But, you know, I was like, hey, let's have a donation put out there for it. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm good. It's going up in the air. Why do I need to pay for it? Well, now there's another donation go around for somebody that's paying for a barge in the middle of the lake on the next night. So now I got dual fireworks going off here, and I'm still not paying for it. Like, I'll provide.
How much were they asking for?
I didn't get that far. I'm good. Didn't need to read it.
And you said no, and that was that.
Now that was that.
And they can't prevent you from seeing the fireworks.
Correct. It's up in the air. It's like, you can't prevent me from watching a bird. Like, if a bird is flying, I'm going to watch it. It's in the air. What do you, like, it's the same thing. Fireworks and birds are the same thing. They're up in, you know, everyone's eyesight. I'm good.
So let's say everyone had your attitude at Old Silver Lake, and there were no fireworks because nobody bought them, nobody chipped in. And on the 4th of July, the sun goes down on a glorious Wisconsin summer afternoon, and nothing happens.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Then what, Brian?
No. That's never going to happen, because this is the real reason. Most of these lake houses, thankfully we bought ours when we bought ours. Now prices are crazy, which means mainly it's old people. I'm not old. But mainly it's old people. This is my theory behind this, okay? Mainly it's old people. And what do old people have? They have kids. And what do their kids have? Young kids. So that means they're grandparents. So that means as long as I'm on this lake, now at some point when I become a grandparent, I might have to chip in. But right now, I got most of these homeowners are grandparents. And they want to provide a heck of a 4th of July for their grandkids, which means they're going to keep shelling out this money to pay for these fireworks. So I think I'm in the clear for at least 20 plus years on this. My theory is not wrong here.
At some point, you're going to have to pay for fireworks. You're going to have to buy some fireworks.
Well, yeah, that's going to be hopefully when, like you, the Zabecast is, you know, we're able to get some money turned. We're going to get some revenue going on Butchie's Den. Like, maybe then at some point. But until then, no. I figure I got 20 years to ride out this theory. Is this thinking wrong?
Yes, it is. It's, you know what? It's uncivic is what it is by you. It is financially prudent, but you are basically saying to your fellow lake residents, I'm going to enjoy a group amenity, fireworks, and I'm not going to pay for it, even though you've got the money to chip in. You haven't even offered. Like, what would be a contribution ask that would buckle your knees? $50?
No, that'd be fine. I would put $50 100. In. I mean, I probably $250 would be like, okay, that's a little much.
That's a lot. Now they were not going to ask you for $250.
Probably not. It probably was $50.
Okay. Why not get in for the $50 and keep your name good? Because you don't know what they're saying about you. You don't know the shit they're talking about you. You don't know how quick they're ready to sick the HOA on that lake, that beautiful Silver Lake in Washura County. That's a different Silver Lake. This one is in Kenosha County.
No, you were right the first time, Washura.
It is? Okay.
Yeah. Here's my thing.
There's more than one Silver Lake. Holy shit.
Yeah, of course.
How many Silver Lakes are there? Probably seven.
There's probably at least 20, I'd assume. Here's my thing. You would assume that I care what people think of me. Like,
everyone does.
No. So to a certain extent, yes. But I really don't. Like, either you like, I'm your flavor, I'm a little cayenne pepper to you, or I'm everybody's got flavors. I know that.
Right, but you are very much Wisconsin nice, which I love about the state and the people, and you help people out. But this is where you draw the line. For some reason, this is the hill you're dying on. Because if a tree falls across a neighbor's driveway and they can't get out and you've got a chainsaw, you'll go over.
I'm doing it.
And you'll help them out, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm all for all that stuff. But this for whatever reason, the four fireworks. No.
Do you like?
I mean, like fireworks. I love fireworks. I think they're great. 4th of July is one of the best holidays because as a basketball player, I usually was around. Now I'm always on the road. Like, I've seen fireworks in Atlanta and L.A. I've seen fireworks in Vegas because I was playing. But now, like, I get to be home with my kids. It's awesome. Like, and to go back to that, though, like, I was catching strays on Twitter yesterday or 2 days ago when news of your new show, and it's like, oh, don't bring that guy. You do the show without Butch. Now I caught some people saying, hey, bring Butch with you. Like, that was nice. But here's the thing. I don't get worked up over Twitter warriors. Like, keyboard warriors, I don't, like, that does nothing for me. Like, if you want to take a shot at me, then take it to my face, and I'll say, hey, we'll agree to disagree. I appreciate you as a human being. But, like, these keyboard warriors, they don't really get to me because I don't even know who you are.
Yeah. Oh, there was a shot by somebody you and I know, which I'm just putting in my back pocket. I was like, oh, okay. I see you, buddy. Guy we worked with. And I'm like, oh, okay. People think they know everything. People's own emotions are all wrapped up in all kinds of stuff. It comes out through their keyboard, through their Twitter account. All right. Well, I hope you have a great 4th of July and you enjoy the fireworks. By the way, how is Blake doing? A lot of people always ask me, how's your son, Blake, having recovered from multiple brain surgeries? The last one was a year and a half ago.
No, September, not even a full year yet. Not even a full, it's crazy. There's been a lot that's happened and it hasn't even been a full year. You know what? He's doing great. We're going to have him here swimming, jumping, running. I say this. If you were to see him, you wouldn't know, which is ultimately what we want. There is a process that still goes on. We've still got scans. We've still got therapies. It's the day-to-day stuff that people don't see now, but that's okay. That's us as parents. He's doing great. We're loving life. We're so fortunate, so lucky, and that's ultimately – as parents, our job to make sure we're giving them the steps to keep rolling. But he's doing great. He's doing a lot better than Malik Beasley. That's for sure.
Yeah, there you go. And I didn't have time to get into that fully, but let me just put a quick quarter in that. On a scale of one to egregious, what was whatever Malik Beasley was doing? as a member of the Bucks, as a member of the Timberwolves, as a member of the Pistons. Talk to me.
Yeah, he's egregious plus one. Like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, even in college, we get sat down and told, hey, okay, you can't do this. It's the integrity of the game. Like, what are you doing? You're a millionaire. You played one of your best seasons. You're going to go cash out, and yet you're going to go throw a game? Like, what are you doing?
Do you know why he was allegedly doing this?
Why?
He was in debt to the tune of millions to guys like his fucking barber. Because he was gambling, this game Bouray, I guess, is a popular game.
Yeah, and it's played on the planes all the time. I mean, the amount of money that's on the planes are crazy. Like, when I was the short time I was on the team planes, like, extremely short, like, the amount of money, the times they had to stop at a bank before they had to get on the team plane, so we left, you know, 10 minutes late because so-and-so had to make sure he got his money from the bank, like... It's crazy. And I just sat there and said, that's a table I'll never be at. If I'm not going to pay for fireworks, I'll tell you one thing. I sure ain't going to get into a game for Bouray for $20,000.
It's just unbelievable. And you know what? There's not enough seminars in the world that leagues could put on to tell some of these dum-dums, hey, this money is real. It is life-changing. But you can piss it all away if you're not careful. And here's a few ideas on how to manage it. You can give those seminars, but it doesn't mean that the players are going to actually drink the information and understand it.
Or listen, right? Like, I mean, most of them are in there just goofing around. For crying out loud, there's seminars I went to that all of a sudden they talk about, hey, make sure you don't have side chicks. And then 2 hours later, what are they doing? Sliding side chicks up to their hotel room. I'm thinking about, boys, they just told us that's probably not smart. And 2 hours later, you're sliding a chick into your hotel room, like, with the security supposedly trying to stop it. Like, it's unbelievable.
All right, so have you watched any of the World Cup, and are you excited for tonight's game by the U.S. against Bosnia-Herzegovina?
Yes, yes, and yes, and our boy Blake is jacked. My man was watching Mexico last night, and he was like,
how amazing was the scene down there, not just inside the stadium, but outside the stadium where they had that entire boulevard around the big statue in Mexico City packed to the gills with fans.
Well, it's amazing. I think this is great. I love it. Now, we don't pay attention to soccer. Anyway, soccer's a lot like Olympics, right? Like, you don't know what's going on until all of a sudden it slaps you in the face and you have to watch it. And then we will watch it. We all become super fans. But I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I love it. I think it's great. Our kids love it. My wife absolutely dives in this. So tonight we'll be glued to the TV, and we're going to have some fun with it.
I love it. Yeah. And now does Blake play soccer, I guess, is
the Yeah. He's on the Pheasants, I think. He's on the Wildcats. Maddie's on the Pheasants. And Blake's on the Wildcats. So, by the way, I'm assistant coach for that, just to let you know. So I got my own purple t-shirt with Wildcats on the back of it. Coach Butch on the back of the shoulders. Oh yeah.
That is hilarious. You giant Brian Butch being a soccer coach. Nine-year-olds.
Seven. Oh yeah, six. Wow. Six you for that. Eight you I watch. And by the way, I am spot on with this. You can give me my flowers. Yes, brother. Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay. What do you mean? Give you your flowers?
Who said this was going to marriage? Who said babies were going to be made?
Okay, you're jumping the gun here, Butchie. I didn't even set it up for the listeners. You see.
Set it up.
I'm about to play here as our closeout to this segment, and you jump the gun on it. This weekend, Taylor Swift is getting married to Travis Kelce at Madison Square Garden. According to reports on TMZ, there's going to be 1,000 guests. There's a huge castle being built inside MSG. The invites are watermarked for security. And Brian Butch, when this first started, said, this is true love. It's going all the way. They're going to make beautiful babies together. And I laughed at him. And I was crying on the staircase. Congratulations. Please don't go. You were right, at least as far as the marriage goes.
Hey, I'm not saying they're not going to get divorced, but right now it's beautiful.
If you were to get an invitation to the wedding, would you drop everything at the lake house, tell your wife, sorry, gotta go, It's just one. There's no plus one. Would you go?
No. No. Weddings are the dumbest thing ever. Weddings are stupid. I would have to get a gift. That would cost me money. I'd have to get a flight. Like, I don't know. I'm good. I hate weddings.
The sensation of two lives coming together in sickness and health, for better or worse, and the celebration of those who love both people and their families and the children and the grandmothers all together. How can you possibly say that? There's an element to truth to it, you know. Big wedding loves to get people to overspend on shit.
That's what I mean. Right. And I don't like to spend.
The website, not the website, but the YouTube channel is Butchie's Den. Butchie interviews all kinds of great people that are Wisconsin-based and Wisconsin-relevant. And I assume you're going to have the new AD at Wisconsin on soon here. You hired
someone. We're going to work on that. Yeah, we're going to work on that. I had Matt Erickson, the Brewers, third base coach on. That drop. Mike Kelly's dropping today. I've got Devin Harris drop. I'm going to talk with Devin tomorrow. So Devin doesn't do a lot of in-media thing. I had to twist his arm and say, Dev, dude, you're doing this. We're going to get this done. And I'm going to bother you until you say yes. And I bothered him daily until he said yes.
Good. I'm glad that they don't say no flat out if you do the firework donations. Otherwise, your YouTube channel, if Butchie's Den, please subscribe and follow today, would be dead on arrival. All right, Butchie, we'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thanks. All right, let me end on this. I hope you had a great 4th of July. Hope you enjoyed some of the programming on TV now. It's like 4th of July is sort of like New Year's, where every network has their own extravaganza show with musical acts and hosts and everything else. And a lot of the same hosts and musical acts keep popping up. Terry Crews was the host of one of the shows. Maren Morris, with her two hits, Bones and The Middle, was trotted out in L.A. for one of the shows. And I'm like, man, I really like those songs. And she was an adorable little pixie of a artist, and I just couldn't stop staring at her face going, what have you done? What have you done to your face, young lady? I think there's been a lot of plastic surgery. But anyway, as I'm enjoying all the TV shows, and I was aware that the display on the National Mall was delayed due to thunderstorms, I kind of hung in there and hung in there and hung in there, and then they finally get to the program. Everyone had to be evacuated from the mall because of thunderstorms. That was a shit show. They came running back. That was a shit show. I mean, to endure all that, you had to really want it because it was hotter than hell on Saturday in the nation's capital. But I'm watching it, and obviously Trump spoke and did all the stuff that he does, and I had to mute it because I'm just like, I can't take it. I don't have Trump derangement syndrome in any way, shape, or form, but as a speaker, as a guy who speaks for a living, he has his own style, and I don't care for it. I'm just like, oh, the rambling and the riffing. Plus, I just want to see the fucking fireworks and then go to bed. So they finally get to the fireworks. It was the largest fireworks show ever, and that's, of course, Trump's thing. Bigger, louder, more. And then bragging about it. And again, I'm not judging. I'm just calling balls and strikes. That's how he rolls. I'm watching the fireworks show, and yeah, there was a ton of fireworks. Somebody actually condensed down the whole thing, time-lapse, into a minute. And it was very instructive because the time-lapse from, I believe, the top of the Washington Monument, most of the fireworks are going off on barges in the Potomac and on the other side of the tidal basin. The time-lapse showed that I didn't think it was a good show. As a fireworks aficionado and somebody who blew off about $432 of my own money in the backyard, nice little show. Don't ask me how long it took to burn that $438. It was shockingly short when I edited down the video. But I enjoyed it. My mom and wife and brother and sister-in-law all liked it, as did my daughter, Catherine. I'll do it again next year. I think that number is about right. Get a lot of bang for the buck on the smaller cakes the smaller repeaters that you buy at fireworks stores. You don't think they're much because they make much bigger ones. But trust me, in your backyard, even the smaller ones are going to be awesome. And they're a lot cheaper. But I digress. The show on the mall, it was like four or five different launching stations that all shot up similar bursts at almost the same time. There wasn't layering. There wasn't variety. And then the end of the show was just, okay, we're going to light them all off. It was so bright. It looked as if the White House had been nuked. And I thought, well, that doesn't look good. Great, you shot off more than anyone ever has. But also, because the air was moist and still after the thunderstorms, it created an absolute smog bomb and a smoke bomb that is not going to come out of the atmosphere for some time. So I didn't think it was a good show. And again, don't go running at me with these takes about you too. You've got TDS. No, I'm calling balls and strikes. Didn't think it was a good show, all things considered. I think the one in New York was better. I think there was one in Nashville I was watching on one of the TVs. You got to have layering and variety, and there has to be some degree of, okay, we don't need this many. More is quite often less when it's all said and done. But I thought the music was interesting because they had a band that was fronted by several of our wonderful service members in their dress whites. I don't know exactly the branch of the military, but a couple gals and one guy who were singing songs that you'd otherwise not associate with 4th of July. Like, they opened with a banger, but one that you wouldn't think with 4th of July, which is Chicago's 26 or 9 to 4, or 26 or 5 to 4. I forget what the numbers are. I once read a reasoning as to the name of the song, and it was like they were late at night. Chicago, 26 or, that should get me there. 25 or 6 to 4. Written by Robert Lamb, one of the founding members of Chicago. It's a great song. They started with that. They then went to, I believe, Don't Stop Believin', which was the song at the end of The Sopranos. They played Living on a Prayer, John Bon Jovi. It was a decidedly non-stodgy set list to be accompanying the fireworks. And I actually liked the set list. I'm like, this is good. These are bangers to get you feeling good. You've been drinking all day. You're tired as shit. There's fireworks going off. I liked it. And I was impressed with, you know, our service members, our men and women, being able to sing quite well, all things considered. Although one gal, I'm like, yeah. This is almost like karaoke night where you're kind of saying, oh, don't let Linda get up there. She's really not as good as she thinks. But I digress. I didn't think the band was good enough. Is that my band nerd in me saying, okay, don't mind the alternate set list. I think it's a cool wrinkle that you've got our service members out there singing the songs. But it was a pretty weak cover band, all things considered. Anyway. Again, I'm sure someone's going to email me just losing their mind. Whatever. I just got to delete it and give a shit. Love America. I love this country. I love that people are willing to endure all kinds of, you know, annoyances and blistering hot temps to go down and be on the mall. I kind of wish that I had that fortitude myself, but I watched it on TV. It was a fine celebration for the most part. The flyovers were fucking awesome. There was that, although they were canceled in D.C. There was a lot of flyovers in New York. The tall ship parade was wonderful as well. Wasn't perfect, but got it done. And I had a great fourth. I hope you did as well. So just a few thoughts on the way out the door. All right, that'll do it for me. Remember, new show on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee starting Monday and continuing for as long as they'll have me. And who knows, if it goes well, maybe they'll expand it to more hours. I don't know. We're going to see. They said, this is what we got, and I said, I'll take it. I'm a man with a guitar, and you've got a stage. Let's go. Let's play some songs. So 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, available on the Audacy app. Get it today. Download it. A-U-D-A-C-Y is the name of the company. I'll also be filling in for J.P. Finley on 106.7 The Fan from 10 to 2. in D.C. So I'll be a busy, busy boy on Monday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Rate and review, as always, tickles the algorithmic overlords. Have yourself a great Monday, and we will see you next time. You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play. Plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game.